Welcome to the Home of Misfits podcast, where normal is optional, masks are unnecessary, and you belong. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Home of Misfits, where I should know my tagline. I'm still working. A normal is optional, masks are not necessary, and everybody belongs and is welcome. So anyway, one
Awesome.
of these days I will get it, I promise. Not today, it's clearly. So anyway, I'm excited today. I have a new friend here with me today, Steve. What time to pronounce your last name? Gamlin?
Yes,
Awesome.
absolutely. Nailed it.
Well, there's hope for me. Yay. And Steve hails from New Hampshire. And why don't you tell us a little bit about you, Steve?
Yeah, my name is Steve Gamlin. I am currently 58 years old. And when I was 11, I wanted to be a radio DJ, a stand-up comedian, an author of my own books, and a teacher of people, but not in the classroom. And over the past 47 years, I've gotten to do them all and have crashed and burned my life pretty horrifically in between each one, which led to me achieving the next one. So,
right.
You know,
that's how we learn and grow.
Yeah, I've got a stage story that says basically my phoenix rides a pogo stick.
And I can just visualize that. I love that.
Thank you.
Wow. So, what drew you to be a guest on the show?
Oh, just the show title. Oh my gosh, I've been a misfit my entire life. No matter what I've done, people have said, no, you're supposed to do it this way. And I just look at them and roll my eyes and say,
no,
this is the way I do it.
Mm-hmm. I love that.
Here we are. I mean, some people tell me as a speaker, Steve, you need to wear a suit. You need to be, you know, portray this level of professionalism. I wear t-shirts that say got vision because that's my lane. That's what I teach. So
right.
I'm going to stick with it. I got like five of these now. I used to just have one, but my wife would complain about it when
they start standing by themselves.
I used to keep one in my studio under the hot lights for a while, and she came down to the studio one time. She goes, oh, honey,
oops,
that's got to go in the laundry. So now I have five.
Oh, well, there you go. See, I rotate mine between the happiness matters and matters of perspective.
Oh, there you go.
So I get it. You know, my husband is like, oh, you have so many nice tops. Why don't you wear that? And I said, why don't you?
Yeah. We're guys, we throw the same stuff on every day.
You know, and it's so right. And it's like you, it's okay for you guys, but it's not okay for us women.
Yeah.
No, yeah. Sorry. That doesn't fly with me. But anyway. So you overcame a few things too, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, I've been through it. And that's why I laugh whenever people say, hey, Steve, how do you make up the stories you share on stage? I just stare at them and say, really? Have you not been paying attention to my life? I don't need to make up anything.
Right.
I've had more highs and lows than your average Hollywood blockbuster, and I'm still here. I am still winning on the other side.
And I'm glad you're here, and I'm glad you're here with us to share some of that. You know, it's like, what got you through like the one of your lowest lows? What got you through that?
One of the lowest, actually, what got me through it is a $3 bucket of golf balls. In the
Nice.
early 2000s, I managed to, in a short window of time, I managed to completely abandon a successful radio career because I was burned out. My first marriage fell apart because we weren't communicating and we were just frustrated with each other. I was not sleeping well. I had a DJ business on the side. So I was working really 6, 7 days a week and I was just exhausted. And I bailed on everything. Radio career gone, first marriage gone. I was tens of thousands of dollars in debt at age 35, had to crawl home and live with family. And my self-talk at the time was brutal.
Your
I
what?
Mean, my self-talk. According to my journals in the early 2000s, I used to refer to myself as Hurricane Dumbass Category 5.
Yikes.
Which is a pretty severe storm of dumbass. So
and
one
it's so
hot
important
year.
How we talk to ourselves too, you
Oh,
know?
It's now I know, but at the time, because I got
Right.
laughs doing it. So I didn't think it was damaging, but it was.
Mm-hmm.
So one hot humid August afternoon in 2003, I had $3 in my pocket and I said, well, I'm going to go to this mini golf place that has a driving range and I'm just going to whack the crap out of some golf balls and just get some frustrations out. I was just mad at myself. I was just so mad at everything I did to my life. So I
Right,
went to the
right.
farthest tee box on the property so I wouldn't dent anybody's car because I'm a horrible golfer. And I was underneath this big row of steel-towered power lines. So I'm hitting away, and about 15 minutes later, a thunderstorm comes through. So it's the wind, the rain, the thunder, the lightning. I'm standing barefoot in the wet grass, hitting golf balls with a metal club. And at one point, I just held it
Hey,
in the
I'm a
air.
lightning rod. Come see
Oh,
me.
yeah. I held the club in the air at one point, and I looked up and I go, "Go ahead. I
I dare
dare
you.
you." Yep. So I finished
Oh,
my
man.
bucket and the buckets of two other guys that ran from the storm and never came back. And after an hour, I couldn't even lift my arms. I get to my car and the rain stops and the first couple tiny rays of lights come through the black sky.
Wow.
And I just thought that was funny. Like, I wasn't mad at God. Some people think, I was daring God to hit me. I'm like, no, I was daring the storm.
Right.
And the next day, I was on a phone call with a brand new life coach. And he asked, "How was your week?" And I told him the story of that. I said, "Listen to what this dumbass did yesterday." And I'm telling him, and I'm making it as funny as I could, but really brutally self-deprecating. And when he stopped laughing, he said, "I got two questions for you. Are you this open and honest about your life with everybody?" And I said, "Yeah." And he asked, "Have you ever thought of being a motivational speaker or a stand-up comedian? I think you'd be good at both. I think you'd enjoy them." He didn't know about those two goals from when I was 11. And I had no idea how to pursue them, but on his desk in the junk mail pile was a brochure from a local community college. 2 weeks later, they had a class starting, Intro to Stand-Up Comedy.
Of course I did, because that's how it works.
Exactly. So I went to that, and a week later, my first Toastmasters meeting. And within a year, I was getting paid to speak, not much, and do comedy, even less than not much. But right time, right place, right message. Right open mind, right vision, and here we are.
But here's the thing. I mean, even though it didn't pay you monetary, to live on, what did it do for you on a on an emotional level, on that whole other side that's like anything but money?
I loved it. The second I was on a comedy stage, I loved it. And as scared as I was the first time I was speaking in front of an audience, I loved it because somebody came up afterward and asked me, "How did you know I needed that one lesson you talked about in there today?" So I knew it wasn't about me. It wasn't about me fixing me. It was about me helping as many other people as I could
Right.
in my way with
Right.
laughter and humor and curiosity. And it was that important that I got to help somebody else. And that's still what fires me up about it now. I'll look around an
Oh,
audience and think,
all the time. Yes.
okay, who's going to need this today? And how can I make sure that I reach their seat and don't just play to the front rows? I aim for the shadows and the cheap seats
There you
because
go.
that's where the people sit who don't want to be called on, don't want to make eye contact, don't want to speak, and might have sat in their car for an extra 15, 20 minutes wondering if they're even worthy of being in the building.
Like, I used to be one of those.
That's where I used to sit, which is exactly why I aim for those parts of the room. Yeah, that
Nice.
used to be me.
I love that. Yeah, my thing too is it's like whenever I speak or classes or whatever, wherever I show up, if whatever I say, whatever comes out, and I shouldn't say never, but hardly ever know beforehand what comes out, because we're all surprised. One of the fun things, But it's like if it makes a difference for just one person in that room, in that audience, that's why I was there. That's why we show up.
100%. I agree. Right from the bottom of my heart, that is exactly why I do what I do, the way that I do it.
And you said just like you don't do it for you. It's like I think we all do it for ourselves too, because that's part of our healing. It's like all the books I wrote, everything I do. It comes from my experience, and sometimes walking and talking through it or writing about it, for me, it's like I get aha moments, and I lift it. I was like, oh, this is good.
Oh, I've got little digital recorders I use in my car, and I'm sitting there as though I'm sitting on stage while I'm driving, and people look at me going, "All right, that guy's weird." And I'm thinking, "Oh my gosh, this just unlocks something inside of me. The audience is going to really enjoy it." And I'm
Exactly.
sitting there full on like I'm on stage, but I'm sitting in my truck, driving down the highway.
Yeah, and it's just like, because it's like, I don't know about you, but people approach me and it's like, well, I mean, you just said it too. People come to you afterwards and it's like, oh my gosh, how did you know I needed this? And a lot of times I tell them is like, because I needed it too.
I give that same answer every time, especially when somebody, even if they send me a direct message on social media, like, "Oh my God, Steve, I read your Facebook post this morning. How did you know I needed that?" I said, "Well, I woke up and I needed it, so I worked it out,
So
presented
here
it,
we go.
and I'm honored that you reached out and said it impacted you, because you know what that means? There's more people out there like us. So thank you for that
Exactly.
gift
No,
of letting me
that's
know
awesome.
it resonated." Yeah.
And then for like the you guys listening or watching this, it's like when something resonates with you, please reach out to the people that put it out there. Because it's like it's just as important for you to read that message as it is for us to see. It's like, oh, people are getting it, people need this, for us to help us keep going too. I mean, I know it's for me, because it's like if we never get any feedback, we just put it out into the ether, and it's like, okay, why am I doing this? I know it's helping me, but if ne we never get feedback in any form, and it's like at some point we stop doing that. Think about that. So it's like even if you just give like a thumbs up, love it, a short comment, send a message or something, it's so important for us, the creators, even though we're doing it for us, but we're doing it as much for us as we're doing it for you. So reach out. Let people know. It's like, oh my gosh, this is really good. I needed this. Anyway, so you said you were drawn to this space because it's real, not a highlight reel. What does real mean to you right now in your life?
Oh, perfectly imperfect. And just
I
dealing with the world as it shows up every day. And I've just always been that way. I come from a blue collar background. And that's why when I talk about between, visualization and law of attraction, manifestation, people go, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, that's a little too woo-woo for me." And I go, "Well,
it.
yeah, that's what I used to think too." So my style has been referred to, and this is my favorite way that somebody ever called it. Steve's style is blue collar woo,
Oh, I love that.
meaning I'll explain how the tools work. I'll hand them to you. I'll roll up my sleeves with you and get down in the mud, and I'll show you how it works. Not like this whole ethereal, mythical thing that
Do
some
as
people
I do, not
say.
as I say. I mean, do as I say, not as I do.
And people just say, "Oh, just believe, and if you can dream it, you can do it," and all that. I'm like, "Oh, yeah, it's cool on a bumper sticker, but
But there's more to it.
there's so much more to
I
it." And
know.
then you get the other people who they're, Powerball gets up to almost $1 billion, and they're sitting on their couch with their hands on the sides of their face. And I'll ask, "What are you doing?" "I'm manifesting, I'm manifesting, I'm manifesting." Like, "Did you
How's
buy a
that working
ticket?"
out for you?
"Yeah." "Did you buy a ticket?" "No, I'm manifesting." I'm like, "Well, your butt cheeks and your couch cushions need to get divorced, because there's a whole action thing involved in there. The law of
What?
attraction
You
is
mean I
great.
have to do something to get what I want? What?
Unbelievable. I
I
know.
know. It's like, oh.
It's true. That's one of my favorite memes. Actually, just about an hour and a half ago, I was talking to a friend of mine who's coming back from surgery and an illness, and she's a power lifter. And she said, "I keep thinking that, that 300 pounds again, 300 pounds again, 300 pounds that I'll be able to lift." I go, "But you are at the gym working with lower weight, working your way up." She goes, "Oh yeah, I'm not one of those people who just thinks, I can think it and then go to the gym and be able to press or lift 300 pounds." You gotta be part of the thing. You gotta meet the law of attraction halfway. It's not just gonna knock on your door with a big lottery check. You gotta at least get in
But
the
that's
game.
not what everybody tells us. I'm just
Well,
kidding.
that's why we're here.
I know, right?
I
We
love
make it.
following people like that on stage sometimes. We're from at an event with multiple speakers, and I hear somebody spewing the big woo stuff, and I'm like, I'm backstage going, "Dear God, I know I'm not next, but could you give the next person just even the mildest, like stomach not feeling well?" So they come to me and go, "Hey, Steve, can you go on next?" "Yes." Just give them a little bit of intestinal discomfort, and I'll
Know,
be happy
right?
to swap spots with them. Yeah. And then I go up, and I just, here's how it really works. Based on what's worked for me. I say that all the time. Based on what has worked for me. I'm not saying I have the answer. I'm saying I have an answer that has taken my life from garbage to glory. So that, and I took a lot of notes along the way.
Right. And that's the best thing we can do is like I tell my clients too. And it's like, hey, here are some tools. This is what worked for me. Doesn't mean it's going to work for you, but here's a set of tools. Pick one if, and play with it. If it works, great. If it doesn't work, pick another one until you find what works for you. I mean,
100%.
it's that simple. But yeah, I, oh, yeah, those people's like, yeah, just do this. And like,
Yeah. I've literally been in an audience before, waiting for my turn to go up and speak, and somebody gets up on stage and goes, "Dream big." And the people are like wetting themselves, like writing, "Oh my God, dream big. Oh wow." And I'm sitting there going, "Really?"
I mean, there's
Okay.
nothing wrong with dreaming
Oh
big,
no,
but that
not at
means you
all.
also have to take big action.
Yeah. When you're just sitting there saying dream big, your butt cheeks and your couch cushions are still touching. You got to go do something, I believe you.
It's that's a whole nother show.
It is.
Yep. So who is Steve today? Not the speaker on stage, but the human sitting here with me.
I do my best every day to be a human plus sign, meaning that I just try to leave as
I
many
so love that.
situations as I can better than I find them. I just think of it everywhere I go. How can I leave a plus sign just kind of trailing behind me? And I actually learned that from observing one of my grandfathers. Very simple. He was a Finnish carpenter, cabinet maker, amazingly talented guy. Just a simple man, a family man. And his whole life, if he drove past your house and said, "Oh my gosh, a branch fell and broke Sabina's fence, a picket on her fence," he would go get his little stubby pencil, put it on his ear, his tape measure. He'd go measure it. He'd go to his workshop. He'd make one. If he had the same color paint that your fence already was, he would paint it and he would go put it on your fence and you would never know he'd been there.
Wow.
He didn't want the glory. He just walked through the world, leaving it a little better than he found it every day. And that's what I try to be. And my favorite way to do it, I call it shopping cart rodeo. Whenever I go to the grocery store and there's a carriage that's been abandoned somewhere, I don't get mad because someone left it or people are lazy. I say, "Hey, look, extra steps for my workout today." And I go retrieve it and put it in the corral or bring it back to the store. And if I see somebody who needs one, I'll offer it to them. Say, "Hey, do you need a carriage? This one's a rescue. I warmed up the hand grips and the wheels don't wobble at all. I think you're going to like it." And they
And
just start
I mean,
laughing.
and here's what I love about this is like it costs you nothing, but that little reframe of a situation, changes everything, not just for you, but it ripples on. It's like it makes a difference for that person, and then that person goes on, it's like, oh my gosh, you never believe what happened to me today, blah, blah, and it continues. And I think we all can do this. It takes a little effort, but it doesn't cost us anything.
And I get
It
labeled,
enriches us so much.
people think I'm a weirdo and a misfit for doing that. And then the other day, I met someone from our tribe. It was a
Like,
easily, probably I'd say about 80-year
come
old
on.
gentleman was there with his wife at the grocery store. And I gave that whole spiel to him for the cart. And he takes it and he goes, "I'll tell you what, when I'm out of here, I'll give you a rating. I predict 4 stars." And I'm sitting there going, "Oh my gosh, I've met 80-year-old me." And that guy cracked me up. And I'm going to remember that when I'm 80, because I got to meet somebody who gets it, that a simple, silly act of kindness like that, he played right back with it. And I loved that. Most people just kind of look at me funny and go, "Thank you." And they just wander off. This guy played right into it and it was beautiful.
Love that. And it happens, and I found out the more I do this, also stuff like that, the more because it's a pattern interrupt with people. At
Yes.
first they kind of like what the heck just happened? And then, but it gives them permission at the same time, to step out of that blah, whatever thing they're in, and really tap into their plus sign. Let's call it the plus sign, that allows them, it gives them permission to tap into their plus. So I love that. I like it a lot. So I have a little questionnaire when people fill out, to book my to be on the show here. I have some questions, and I know you went through a lot of grief, fairly recent, and what has grief actually taught you that you didn't expect?
Grief made me realize how much stronger I was than I ever thought I could be because of the love that I shared with my wife, Tina, who at the time of this broadcast, about 16 months ago, suddenly and unexpectedly, she was the organized one. And I was just the, flying by the seat of my pants with my hair on fire, enjoying life every day, being a plus sign. Didn't know where all the paperwork for the house was. I kind of had an idea, but we were just this amazing team of people. And all of a sudden, 3,000 miles from home, we had just arrived in England, and she had a heart event and she passed away.
Oh, wow.
And
I
all of a
can't even.
sudden, I had to be the responsible one. And my sister, who is one of those very organized, responsible people, flew over. We were in England when it happened. She flew over 5 days later and she said, she tells me now, she said, I've never seen you as organized, as confident, as on top of things, and just in control as I saw you during those 2.5 weeks you were stuck in England trying to get Tina's body home and yourself home. So
Wow.
that's
Right.
what I realized through my grief is that when I had to be, I could be organized and be on top of things and take care of all the tasks. And
Right.
literally hundreds of hours of phone calls and paperwork over the first 4 months after Tina died.
Wow. I can't even fathom. It's like, yeah, my husband and I, we laugh because I always say it's like we teamwork. I team, he works.
The last conversation Tina and I had, she said, we're a team and we both contribute to everything. I was kind of down about something and she picked me right back up. And then she got vulnerable and authentic with me. This is literally 12 hours before she passed. We had one of the
Wow.
deepest, I mean, we were one of those 1 in a million couples. Our whole story got me invited to Oprah's radio network back in
Nice.
2010, 11 on four call-in shows.
Oh,
Talk about
wow.
soulmates, law of attraction. So, I mean, ours was an incredible story. And
Okay,
she said
so
it's
because now we're
incredible.
all curious, you know.
Yeah.
Finish your thought and then give us the
Yeah.
snapshot version.
Yeah. We were just both so vulnerable with each other. Like we always were, but it was just so amazing that it was 12 hours before she passed. That was our last big conversation. We got to be in love for 6,386 days, 17 and a half years. We went to high school together. I had a crush on her, never had the guts to ask her out. We graduated in June of 86, didn't see or talk to her ever again. So I went off, had my life, my radio career, my first marriage, everything fell apart. And I put it back together in the early 2000s, became a speaker, started with visualization, created all my own learning programs and everything. And in early 2007, I made that year's vision board. And I said to myself, this is the year that I'm going to find her, whoever she may be. Pictures of couples, standing at the railing of a ship at sunset, walking hand in hand on a beach, cooking a meal together in the kitchen and laughing because I'm a hopeless, helpless romantic. And that's what I wanted to create. And in early June of 07, I wrote in my journal, I am ready to fall in love. And on June 16th, I got an email that I almost deleted because I thought it was spam from someone named Tina. And I opened it up and realized it was from Tina from high school, who I hadn't seen or spoken to in 21 years. Hey, I saw your name online. I live in Florida now. We should keep in touch. So
And the rest is history, right?
I tried to do, the digging. She had no social media footprint. And even if I Googled her all day long, there was not a picture of her to be found. So for a month, phone calls, emails, and texting. She w would
Nice.
not send me a picture. I started to remember the feelings I had for her. And on July 21st, she sent me a text and said, can I tell you something if you promise not to freak out? And I said, sure. She had a crush on me in high school, never said a word. And she said, I love you.
Oh, wow. Whew.
And I answered
I
it
have
right
chills.
back. And so we got to enjoy 17 and a half years, head over heels in love. And she still shows me signs that she's here. Matter of fact, yesterday morning, came downstairs, fed the cat, looked out the kitchen window to the backyard, and I said, hey, baby, when are you going to send me some cardinals? I haven't seen any yet this year.
And poof, there they are.
20 seconds later, on the stone wall in the back of the house, staring right at the window, as the male, the brighter of the two, and the female was down in the grass looking for bird seed. 20
Yep.
seconds.
That's how it works.
She's here. She shows me all the time that she's
Oh, I
still here.
love that for you.
Yeah.
I have like the stuff like that gives me good chills. You know, I was like, whew,
Yeah.
I get chills. I
She used
love
to always
that.
ask, "Aren't you sick of telling our story yet?" I said, "Babe, I've never actually told it. I've relived it a few hundred times, but I've never just told it
Right.
because
No,
I feel it."
and I get it. It's like my husband
Yeah.
and I, we've been married like what, 30, I don't math, 37 years now?
Yeah.
Whatever, 30 some years, you know, and we met the old-fashioned way, drunk in a bar in Germany.
I know just enough German to be in a bar. Ich will ein Bier bitte und wo ist die
Oh
Badezimmer?
my gosh, he
I'd
was
like a
stationed
beer
in
and where's your bathroom?
pretty much, yeah. He was stationed in my hometown, so and yeah, and here we are, you know. But no, I totally get that.
Love that.
Next question. You've left multiple versions of yourself, lost, searching, speaking, grieving. Which version felt the most true for you?
Speaking really does because it lets me take all these parts of me that I love so much, put them in a blender, and it all comes out, whether it be compassion, empathy, humor, kindness. My family and I have a small nonprofit, so we're huge. We each have to commit at least one act of kindness a day. So I get to put all that in a blender when I'm on stage. Now, I don't care if there's 1,000 people in a room or in an audience, or if there's two people in a small conference room, you get the same version of me, no matter what. And that's where I have the most fun because I get to see the impact on people's lives.
I love that. So, nonprofit, you speak my language because I have one too. What do
Oh,
you guys,
nice.
all right? What do you guys do? I mean, I just started mine last year, so
Yeah.
I'm still
Yeah,
in
we do.
the baby thing. But tell me about
Yeah.
yours.
About, well, now, gosh, almost 14 years ago. I used to, whenever I got paid to speak, I would take 10%. I would write a check back in the days when we actually wrote checks
Yeah.
to a local nonprofit. I would even ask my speaking clients, "Hey, who do you like in town?" And they would say it, and I would write the check and give it to them and say, "Hey, go give this to the nonprofit. Congratulations, you just learned how simple it is to be kind."
I love that.
I started to get into events where it wasn't just one company from one town, so it was a little tougher to do that. So I told my family, "Hey, let's start getting more involved." And we started to do simple acts of kindness. We used to make bag lunches for a place that helped homeless veterans. And then somebody said, "Well, Steve, you know, someday you could make it a nonprofit, but you got to give it a name." I said, "I don't know what to call it." And they said, "Well, what's your goal in life?" I said, "To be a beach bum." Because I just learned how to surf at the time. And
Right.
I'm just so laid back in life. So we named it Beach Bum Philanthropy.
I love
And
that.
a little over 5 years ago, it became an official 501c3.
Nice.
So
I love
we're,
that.
yeah, we love doing the little simple stuff, especially, you know, making food. We've earned the trust of about four or five shelters to help the homeless and in need, and they allow us to cook meals
Oh,
for
nice.
them, which is brings us so much joy, and just we respect the trust that it takes, and we're so just committed to bringing laughter through food and just helping, you know, helping to heal hearts even a little bit.
Right. That is so my love language, you know?
Yeah.
Oh
Yeah.
my gosh. Whew. I love that. It's like coming back down, you know?
Yeah. It feels amazing to do that. And one thing we never do is we don't take selfies going, "Hey, look at me, I'm helping a homeless person."
I know. Look how great I am.
Oh,
Yeah.
that rubs me the wrong way. So much.
Oh yeah, and
You
it's so
sneak in and
funny.
out.
Yeah, you know, it's like that's not why we're doing this. I remember when we have stuff to donate, you know, my husband is like, do you want me to get a receipt? I said, no, it's a donation to me. You know, it's like either I donate it or I get something from it. You know, or to me it's like no, it's a donation. Give it to them. No strings attached. I don't want anything. This is done.
Yeah.
You know, and he's at the point now where he goes like, he's so funny. The other day he goes like, so I took that over to, we have a local place here. And he goes like, I took it over there and I got a receipt and I looked at him and he goes like, and we don't need it. And he crumbled it up in front of me and he threw
Perfect. I tell people, here's how I look at kindness. It's kind of like when you see kids, they'll run up and put a flaming bag of dog poop on somebody's porch and they run away so they don't get caught. As we many ways we try to take the same approach to kindness. We sneak in, do an act of kindness, and whenever possible, the people have no idea that it was us that did it. It's
I
like we're
love
getting
that.
away with something, but in a good way. And I love that. I love the feeling of it because I'm not there for a spotlight. We've been given awards as volunteers of the year at several different places, and they'll say, "We need you to come accept the award." I'm like, "Can you just mail it? I don't want to be up in front of a crowd of people getting praised for this." And then they said it differently one time. They said, "But Steve, when we tell other people what you do and the very simple things you do,
Everybody
you
can do
help
it.
them to understand that they can do it too." I thought,
No,
okay.
I love that. I remember, so my husband is a retired military, and I
Mm-hmm.
was really engaged in the military community back in Germany and then here and whatever. And they always hounded me, the volunteer coordinators, for the post or whatever. They're like, "We need your hours." And I'm like, "Okay." I never submitted my hour.
Yeah.
So
It's
I
not a
had
job. It's something we love, and we just
So I
love to
had
do it.
others submit my hours, they guessed. And I remember one time, one of the volunteer organizers here on post came to me and I was like, "Oh my gosh, are you sure you don't have more?" And I said, "More what?" I was like, "More hours, because it's like just a few more and we can put you in for this higher award." And I looked at them and then I said, "I don't even want whatever award you have. That's not why I'm doing this." And it's like, "But you should be recognized." And I said, "But I am, by the smiles of the people's faces."
There you go.
That to me, and giving them a place where they can come feel safe and express themselves and whatever it is, I said, that to me is all I need. I don't need the awards. But I understand some people do it for whatever. Anyway, moving on. A whole nother show. So when life rips the rug out, what actually helps you stand back up?
Gratitude every day. Even the in you ask some people, "What are you grateful for?" And they go, "Oh, my job, my house, and my spouse." Awesome. And then a month later, you see them and say, "What are you grateful for?" And they go, "I told you, my job, my house, my spouse." Like, wow, dude, look at the lack of energy you had that time because you're just repeating this thing. For over 15 years now, and this was at the suggestion of a fellow speaker, a good friend of mine. He said, "Yeah, I keep a gratitude journal. And every day I write down something specific. Like I don't just write down, broad brush or category or something." And I started doing that. And I've been doing it over 15 years. And even on my toughest, worst days, I'll write down my three favorite moments, just a moment that I'm grateful for. And of course, I get asked, "Well, Steve, the morning Tina passed away, she literally died in my arms. I found her in a hotel room when I came up back up from the gym. Here's what I'm grateful for. She still had a pulse. And I pray that she could hear me saying," and I was working with a fellow, a hotel employee with medical training. We were trying to re resuscitate her while the EMTs were coming. And she died right there in our room in my arms. "But I'm grateful that she had a pulse when I found her, so that I hope she could hear me and that she knew she wasn't all alone and how much I love her." So I'm grateful for that.
And
And it's
there's
things like that every
so
day.
much we can be grateful for,
Oh, yeah.
even the
Yeah.
things that are not that great. And as I tell people, it's like, then be grateful for the lesson, because there was something here you're supposed to learn. And here's the thing, if you're ignoring it, it will come back even harder.
Yeah.
Because and the way I do it is like, I usually use like my phone. It's like, "Hey, look, here's a lesson. Do you want it?" And it's like, "Yeah, no." So, and it goes away and then it comes back. It's like, "Look, I'm back and I brought a friend."
Yeah. It smacks. It just comes back and smacks. She's like, "Hey, you want to learn it now? You want to learn it now? You
And
want to
every
learn it
time
now?"
it's like, it smacks you harder and it smacks you more. And it's like, until you have no choice, so the sooner you understand, it's like, sometimes it's just a lesson. And sometimes it's a lesson in what not to do.
Yes.
So there's so much to be grateful for. Every day. Every day. You woke up this morning. That's a start. Be grateful for that. I love that. Ah, you so speak my language. You're my people. I like
Yeah. Well,
it.
then there's two of us misfits hanging out. So, you know what that means? We're the cool ones.
That's right.
I've literally been in like a Panera, you know, a Panera Bread with a couple of friends who are do what I do and have very similar energy. And there was one time we were in there and we were just elevating and elevating and elevating. Somebody that knew one of the women who was there at the table walked past and said, "I don't know what you all are talking about over here, and I don't know three of you. I just know this one person. But let me just tell you, your energy is impacting this entire place. I was way over there and I had to come over here."
Because energy, I mean, oh my gosh, and it ripples out. But it's not just the positive energy, the negative energy too. So it's like, and it's like we've all heard like misery loves company, but misery and being miserable is such a low vibration. Do you want to hang out there? You want to rather hang out over here where happy and the good stuff is that it's like I'd rather hang out up here because we like company up there too.
And misery is like a magnet. Jack Canfield has a really great explanation of it. He calls it the Ain't It Awful Club.
Oh, okay.
Friends get together at the bar. One guy goes, "How's it going?" He goes, "Oh, my day was horrible. The boss yelled at me and whatever, whatever." And somebody else walks up and goes, "You think you got it bad? My day." And they try to outdo each other in a bad way. It's like a toilet literally flushing itself.
Right.
And he calls it the Ain't It Awful Club. And I do my best once I hear people starting to talk like that, I just steer clear.
Good. Well, I mean, the thing is, it takes just as much effort to go the other way, to go up, as it does to go down. But the outcome is so different. The energy is so different. The way you feel is so different, And it's like, so there's an author, Mindy Odlin. She wrote a book called What If Up? Very cool. I freaking love Mindy, But it's like instead of doing the what if down, you do the what if up. Same thing. But yeah, it's like, whoo. Anyway, let's see. I have questions. I'm looking over here, because I have questions because, misfit.
People ask me that sometimes they go, "Do you remember everything?" I go, "No, I got all my notes on the wall right behind the camera." I barely have to move.
Right. Well, and the way my setup is like my screen is over here, my camera is over here, so it's like, it's all good.
No worries.
So you use humor as a coping mechanism. When did you realize laughter wasn't just entertainment, it was survival? That's a good
Oh,
one.
from my dad when I was a kid and growing up. My dad was a funny guy. And God, anytime we did we did so many carpentry projects together, worked in the yard together. We were best friends. And we were always laughing. Even if we're telling the same stories over and over and over to a new person, or even people we told them with 1,000 times, it didn't matter. Laughter was part of everything.
And laughter
So,
is so good.
yeah. And it's infectious.
It is.
You see these
And they say
social
laughter is the best
experiments.
medicine.
You see, sometimes they'll do a video on a subway and everybody's, busy on their phone or, reading a book or something. And then one person starts to laugh a little and then louder and louder. And they're out of control laughing. So they get tears coming down. And the whole rest of the subway car, train car is impacted with it by it in a positive way. And sometimes they're laughing. They have no idea what they're laughing about. But
I
it is
love
so infectious, and
that.
it just lifts your soul. I love finding humor in everywhere I go.
Oh,
I
and
love to
sometimes
find
things
humor.
are so messed up, all you can do is laugh.
But sometimes it just takes looking at something a different way to get the laughter. And my favorite example of this ever, back up at my dad's house, he had a Springer Spaniel years ago. And I let the dog out to go out in the dog pen, do his business. And I looked out one of the living room windows to see if he had done it. And I looked down. He had pooped a smiley face, two eyes, a nose, and a couple of them that made a smiley face. And I went outside around the back and I looked at it from a different angle. And it wasn't, you couldn't see it that way. But when you looked at it from that living room window,
Right.
He pooped a smiley face, and I took a picture of it. I'm like, just in case the dog goes out and walks through it and wrecks it or something. I
Right.
took a picture, and somewhere in a hard drive, I've got to find it again.
That's funny.
Because,
Yeah. And it's like perspectives. I mean, it all depends on how you look at life. You know, that's matters of perspective. I love that. One last question.
Sure.
What's one small plus sign action someone can take before this day ends?
Hold the door for somebody. Just hold it with no expectation. And if you don't hear them say thank you, don't yell, "You're welcome." Please
Kind
don't do that.
of like defeats the purpose, yes.
Yeah, it really does. Just make it a habit. Whenever you walk through a doorway, look over your shoulder to see if there's somebody there. And our bank and post office in the town next door are in the same building because it's so tiny. When I lived in that town, my P.O. box number was 5. It's a small town. They've got a 35-foot sidewalk out front and two sets of doors because the ATM is in the lobby in the first set. Every time I go there, I pull open the door, look over my shoulder, even if somebody's 30 feet away, I'll stand there, and I'll stand there looking official, like I'm, a door,
Right.
what they call it. And they go,
Gatekeeper.
yeah. And sometimes they do that, that fast jog, like, an 80-year-old man doing the 80-year-old man jog up the thing. And I said, "Sir, sir, sir, there's no rush. First off, I'm self-employed. There's nobody yelling for me to come back. And second,
Right.
I see your hat and thank you very much for your service." He was a World War II veteran.
That's beautiful. I
And he
love it.
said,
Yeah,
"I
when
love
the
when young people have manners." I said, "Young, how old do you think I am?" He goes, "Younger than me, young fella, younger than
Good
me."
point. Good point.
We're both laughing and smiling, and that was a bad day. And I was there because I was praying a check arrived to help me pay my bills, and it hadn't. So I was not in a good mood until that moment.
Yeah, and that's all it takes is like one. It's part of a moment. It doesn't even need a full moment. It's just like one split second. You know, that's all it takes. I love that. Oh my gosh, this is so good. So, Steve, if people want to get a hold of you, what's the best way for them to get a hold of you?
You can find me on LinkedIn and Facebook. I'm there quite a bit under Steve Gamlin, Gamlin. And my brand new website is stevegamlinspeaker.com.
Yay, brand spanking new. I like it.
Brand new. We're just putting a couple finishing touches on it, but it is out there. And yeah, I'm very appreciative. I surround myself with really, really good people over the last year or so who've helped me. I could never pay them back for what they've done for me.
Well, plus, I mean, it's like, we attract who we are. So it's really that simple. So, well, thank you so much for being here with us today. Really appreciate you and for sharing your story, and I'll be following you. and thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll be back next week with a new guest, a new story, and yeah, it's like so, home of misfits. Normal is optional, masks are not necessary, and everybody's welcome. So we'll see you guys next week. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Home of Misfits by Matters of Perspective. You belong.